With me in your Bibles to the book of Mark. We're going to go to chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. And if you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find that on page 717. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. We read these words. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, just as you entered it, and you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found the colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, someone standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming King of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and he looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. One of my favorite accounts in Scripture, and look forward to hearing what God has to say to us this morning.
Thank you, choir, for leading us in that blessing of blessing the Lord's name today. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would please once again open up to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. This morning, in the early service, we looked at the Gospel of Matthew and Matthew's account of these events. And now we want to look at what Mark had to relate as to his observations of the events that took place on that very first Palm Sunday. That day in which there was great triumph for the name of Christ and for his honor, even though there was going to be tragedy that would take place within the week, this particular moment was a moment of great triumph. And as all of this took place, we see various elements of how God blesses and uses people, things, circumstances to bring about a great glory to His name. And that's something that we should never forget. God can take all of the circumstances in our lives, He can take all of the situations that we face, and He can turn them to use them for His glory if we will be willing to allow Him to have control of our thoughts, our attitudes, our minds, every aspect of who we are. God wants to bring great glory to the church because He wants the church to be a glorious bride for His Son, Jesus Christ. But He also brings about great glory for Himself. And that becomes an important aspect. And now as we look at this triumph, I want to share with you six things out of this particular passage today. I want to share with you the approach, the appeal, the acquisition, the anticipation, the applause, and the arrival. So let's look at what's contained in this particular passage of Scripture as Mark relates the events of that Palm Sunday as he observed what was taking place. I want you to notice, first of all, the approach. Look at verse 1. It says, "And as they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples." This approach was Jesus was fully aware of the events that were going to be taking place. And he was fully aware of the fact that he needed to be at Jerusalem. He needed to be where the plan of God could be accomplished through his life. And as he approached Jerusalem, earlier in the scriptures we read that he had set his face resolutely, or like a flint, some translations say, like a flint towards Jerusalem. He was not going to be sidetracked, he was not going to be dissuaded, but he was going to go and fulfill what the will of God was. Even though he knew it was going to be a very difficult time. And so he had, as he had approached the city of Jerusalem, he wasn't backing down. And he wasn't cowering at all. What is God asking of you? What is he placing on your plate to be able to serve him? Are you willing to set your face like a flint toward accomplishing the will of God in your life so that he can be glorified? Are you willing to fully release yourself to the control of Christ? To fully yield yourself to God and approach the city with a devout resolution to not turn back, to not run away from what God is asking you to do. You know, each one of us has a unique plan of God for our lives. Every one of us does. And it's not going to be the same. There are some who are called into full-time Christian service, we call it. Well, we're all called into full-time Christian service. But I mean as a profession. You know, there are those who are called into lifelong missionary service. There are those who are called into evangelism. There are those who are called into pastoral types and styles of ministries. But regardless, not all of us is called to go in those kinds of directions, but we are all called to be faithful, submissive believers in Christ, and a willingness to do whatever he asks us to do. And that becomes very important in our lives. If we are to accomplish, not just as a church, but as individuals, if we are to accomplish the will of God, we must be fully committed to following through to whatever God has called us to. You know, some people here have been called to be workers in factories. And that's okay. That's an honorable job. That is an honorable call. But you know what? The main part of that call, as you go in that factory day after day, is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. To be honorable in all that you do. Some people in this congregation are called into professional styles of things. Perhaps overseers of various areas, or bankers, or nurses, or doctors, or anything like that. Some have been called to various elements of ministry. And those things are very, very honorable. And if that's what God has called you to, you need to set your face like a flint to follow through on that and not to back down. You know, some of you here have been called to be housewives and to be involved in the forming of your children's spiritual values so that there can be a prepared generation coming up behind the generation that you're a part of. And that's a high calling and an admirable call. And you need to set your face like a flint towards honoring that, so that as the city of God comes in view, it's not seen just by you, but by those that you're responsible for. You see, this approach, Jesus knew exactly what was going to be taking place in that coming week, because He is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the earth. He knew that His purpose in coming was to die. He was born to be a sacrifice. That's why He's called the Lamb of God before the foundation of the world. He knew that He would have to pay for the sins of other people, and yet He didn't shrink away from the task that had been placed before Him, but He approached the city with faith, with confidence, and with a resolution to follow through on the Father's call on His life. Are you resolutely following the Father's call on your life? Secondly, I want you to notice the appeal that He makes. He's with these disciples. He sends two of them, and this is the appeal that He makes. He said to them, verses 2 and 3, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately He'll send it back here." The appeal He makes to those disciples. Jesus, I'm going to tell you, Jesus was not in the process of committing Grand Theft Donkey. All right? We need to remember who owned that donkey. Ultimately, who owned it? It was being rented by the people that they considered they owned it, but it was God's. Everything that is created is God's. You know, we like to think of our kids. But you know what? They're not ours. They're God's. We are entrusted by God to raise children for Him. We like to think that it is our home. It's not. It's God's. That is my car. No, that's God's. You see, everything is God's. But we have the tendency to stubbornly take what is His and reserve it for ourselves, including our own lives. If we're walking outside of the grace of God's salvation, we're robbing from God that which is rightfully His. We are not our own. We are His. So He has every right over us to ask us to do whatever He wills for us to do. I am certain that when He turned to these two disciples, that they were probably thinking in their minds, you know what? Jesus has kind of lost it here. He's asking us to go and take this other person's colt, this other person's little donkey. But you see, Jesus knew who owned that. That was His to begin with. So he wasn't committing any kind of a crime, nor asking his disciples to. And in fact, he sent them exactly to the right place where he knew the heart of those who would be questioning, "What are you doing?" See, that didn't catch him off guard. We sometimes think that somehow God is caught off guard when he commands us to do something. And so we argue with him a little bit. God's not taken off guard. When you go to that neighbor to talk with them about salvation, you talk with them about Jesus, God's not taken off guard by what their response is going to be. He knows. And he may just be asking you, "Look, I want you to plant a little seed here." It doesn't mean that you'll be the one to see it bear fruit, but I want you to plant that seed anyhow. And remember, if they reject, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting what you have to share. They are rejecting me. And even if you sense they're rejecting you, in reality, they're not. They're rejecting what God has asked you to do. He has asked you to be a witness, to be a testimony, to let your light shine. And as he then flows through you, the rejection is the rejection of God. But if you plant that seed anyhow, we don't know when that seed's going to be able to germinate, and when it's going to begin to grow, and when it's going to begin to produce fruit. Because that's God's responsibility. That's not ours. You know, God did not call us to success. He called us to faithfulness. All success is His. He has called us to be faithful. And that's what he was asking these two disciples. "Look, guys, I need you to go and do this task for me. Go and get the donkey and bring it here." You see, Jesus had been preparing, we think, from the time of his baptism till this moment. No. Jesus had been preparing from the moment of childhood all the way through for this particular time. You remember, Jesus is about the age of 12. And he has been in the caravan that has gone to Jerusalem for the Passover and that kind of thing. And the caravan is headed back. And they get a couple of days out. And suddenly they're thinking, "Well, Jesus, where in the world is he? Where in the world is he?" And they go and they find him in the temple, and he's speaking with the great minds, the great theologians of the day. And they're amazed at his wisdom, and they're amazed at his knowledge. And Mary and Joseph are going, "Man, what in the world are you doing? Why didn't you let us know what was happening?" And Jesus' response is very simple. "What? Don't you know? I must be about my Father's business. A part of his Father's business was to set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem, to set his direction toward the fulfillment of the plan of God. To be the Lamb of God that was slain before the world was ever formed. That's what God called him to. And that's what he was going to do. God has for you an amazing plan. He wants you to honor that plan. He wants you to fulfill what His call for you is. And you want to know something? I can't answer that call for you. But He can. And He is not willing to leave you floundering, saying, "What in the world is the will of God for me?" He wants to openly, just like He asked these disciples, go and get the donkey. He wants you to go and get the donkey. Go and perform His will, whatever that is for you. And He'll take care of the details. He will bring you comfort. He will give you the things to say, just like He did with these disciples. If anyone asks you what's going on, tell them the Lord has need of it. They'll let it go. Don't sweat the small stuff. I got the details in my control. When God gives you a task to do, don't sweat the small stuff. He's got the details in His control. The third thing is I want you to notice the acquisition. Look at verses 4 through 6. And they went. And that's a simple way to start that particular response, isn't it? Jesus said, hey guys, go and get this. And they went. I wonder if God could write that about us. I told you to do something, and you went. I told you to accomplish something, and you went. You know, there's going to be a time when we're going to be judged by whether or not we went. So we should be submissive to God's will. And they went away, and they found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. Okay, the Lord has need of it. Take it. The Lord speaks to you as a parent, says, "I have need of your child." Do you send them? The Lord says, "You know, there's a missionary that's needed in Central America or in Indonesia, or in Switzerland, or in Canada, or wherever. And I want your child to go. Do you release them, or do you clutch them?" I want your child to go into the ministry. I want your child to dedicate themselves to the sharing of the gospel. Do you let them, or do you clutch them? Let me tell you, when God says, "I want," we'd better be ready to say, "You receive." You see, that's exactly what took place in this moment. At this very instant, the Lord has need. Go and take. What's God asking you to release to Him? What are you clutching that God has need of? And he's asking you, let it go. Is it you? Are you holding on to yourself and your wishes and your plans and not releasing them to God to take on His wishes and His plans? God is calling, and He wants to raise up great things. These disciples go and they do exactly as Jesus told them, and they acquire, they make that acquisition of that donkey and bring it back. Just like Jesus said. Number four, I want you to notice the anticipation. Look at verses 7 and 8. And they brought the colt to Jesus and put their garments on it, and He sat upon it. And many spread their garments in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. The anticipation. There was an electric atmosphere. There was electricity in the air as Jesus was prepared to ride into Jerusalem. And I'm sure it was probably a flash mob type of a thing. You know what a flash mob is? Have you seen that commercial that's on TV? I get the biggest kick out of this, where there's this guy in this big... I think it's an advertisement for a telephone company, actually. But he's in this big building, and there's all kinds of people around, and there's supposed to be a whole troop of them that suddenly break out spontaneously into dance. And this guy, at this given time, his phone didn't quite get the message. Slow service, must have been Verizon. I don't know. But anyways, there's this guy, and all of a sudden he's dancing and doing all this, and no one's joining him. And then he checks his phone because he gets a message, and it's too late. He's already made a fool of himself because the call didn't come through. You know, those spontaneous things are what are called flash mobs. It's a prearranged thing to make a point. But the people around are unaware, but suddenly the spirit of what's going on connects. Kind of like when Kentucky wins a basketball game. I don't know if you heard that or not. Kentucky made it to the finals game, and so the college did the things that colleges are supposed to do, and they had riots. How stupid is that? But that's a flash mob type of a thing. You know, the Rodney King riots, flash mob type of thing, mob mentality. Well, in this case, as Jesus is ready to enter, and He's on the colt, there's electricity in the air, and people begin to cry out, Hosanna! Blessed be the name of the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna! Praise be to God! Hosanna! And they're crying over and over, and boy, the people just begin to... Have you ever noticed people want to be a part of excitement? They really do. They want to be a part of what's exciting and what's going on. It's a part of that flash mob mentality that people have. And you know, I'm convinced in my heart of hearts that some of these people are just in this because there's something exciting going on. That's the way things are quite often. In sports, we call them fair-weather fans, you know, as long as the team's doing well. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm a fan, you know. But as soon as the team starts to go down, suddenly they're quiet and you don't see anything of them. It happens in churches, too. And it happens in factories. And it happens wherever people gather. As long as they can ride the tide, they're going to take it for all they can. But when suddenly things are a little different, they close off. Folks, don't close off. God has amazing things in store for those who love Him, for those who are searching and seeking for how God can use them in His great plan. Don't close off. Don't be a part of the mob that cries Hosanna. Be a part of those that create the Hosannas by being faithful and submissive and willing to be and to do what God calls them to be and do. There's great anticipation. There's great excitement as Jesus enters. And as is always the case with this kind of a situation, number five, there comes the applause. Look at verses 9 and 10. And those who went before and those who followed after were crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Excuse me. You see, there's great anticipation. There's great passion. There's great excitement. All of that is taking place. And they're just excited to be around Jesus. You know what's tragic? It's going to take about 4 days. And instead of Hosanna, they're going to cry, Crucify. Crucify. Mob mentality. Crucify. What's your mentality? What are you thinking? Are you only able to praise God when there's great excitement? Then do you begin to cry, Crucify! Crucify! When suddenly you don't feel the warm fuzzies. What do you cry? When things aren't going your way, what do you cry? When maybe God doesn't respond the way that you think He should, what do you cry? Is it Hosanna or is it Crucify? Four days. That's not long. 4 days. From the entrance into the city to the trek to the hill called Calvary. 4 days. From Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Blessed be the name of the one who comes in the name of the Lord to crucify him. Give us a crook instead. Have you killed Jesus? To take on a robber. What do you cry? Folks, don't be caught up in the mob. Be caught up in Jesus. Be caught up in all that He wants for you. Be faithful. Follow through. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you're going to be faithful and follow through, and people aren't going to understand. But you stay faithful and you follow through. Because ultimately, God will reveal all things. Be faithful. Hang on. God will show truth. Don't be a part of the mob. Be like Mary. Remember Mary? The disciples had split. All but one. John. Jesus is hanging on the cross, bleeding away His life for you and for me. Where's Mary? She's right there. She's clutching the cross. Jesus looks at John. He says, "My child, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son." Jesus couldn't even trust His fleshly brothers because they weren't there. But He could trust John. And the Bible says from that moment on, John took her into his home and cared for her. He took that call very seriously. John wasn't willing to be a part of the mob mentality. He was going to be faithful. The others didn't understand that, but he was going to be faithful. He was going to be committed. Even though it meant identifying with the one on the cross, he was going to be faithful. And you know what? That's what God's asking of you and I. Be faithful. Identify with the one on the cross who has died for us. Identify with the perfect Lamb of God. And God will bless your life. Number 6. Notice the arrival. Verse 11. "And he entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking all around, he departed for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late." That seemed like such an insignificant verse to me for years. I didn't quite grasp it. I didn't quite understand what's the point of bringing that out. Why say he came to the temple, looked all around, and then walked out? What's the relevance? What's the significance of that? Well, if you read a little later in the week, you find one of the issues that led to the cross. And that is when Jesus decided it's time to cleanse the temple. For it's just a little later, we find him throwing tables, having a hissy fit, making a cat of nine tails, and in violence, he cleanses the temple. You are the temple. Do you allow Jesus to come in and look around? Do you allow him to come and inspect? Or do you hang up a sign that says, you know what, it's a little late? How much access to you does Jesus have? I pray that when Jesus looks at this temple, he doesn't just turn around and walk away. I pray that he feels welcome. I pray that he feels honored. I pray that he feels blessed. And that he doesn't feel like he's not wanted. Is Jesus wanted in your temple? Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please take your hymnals. Open up to number 98. Number 98. This week, we'll be celebrating the sacrifice of God for our salvation. As we look at that great time of sacrifice, we should allow praise to be what fills our hearts. We should thank him for the great example that he has set for us to go all the way through the will of his Father. If you're here today and you'd have to say, you know, I haven't welcomed Jesus into the temple of my heart, but today I would like to do that, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Today would be the perfect day to invite the risen Son of God into your life. So I invite you to step out and come, give your heart totally to him. Don't let them just have that inspection and then walk away, but instead, let them cleanse. Sometimes that's a little violent. There are things in your life he'll just want to rip out of there because they're offensive to him to have a dirty temple. And so if he's speaking to you, submit to him. Submit to his will. So we're going to sing this. If God is speaking to you, step out and come as we sing number 98. Jesus, we just want to thank you.